Continuing with chapter 27 of Miklos Sneasley's Auschwitz, a doctor's eyewitness account. Now my comrades were lying naked in long rows in front of the cremation ovens, one after the other. I identified the bodies of those I knew. At least they had died believing that freedom was only around the corner. They had been brought back on pushcarts from the spot where they had fallen, somewhere inside the outer line of guards. Those who had been executed in the courtyard as we were walking away were also here, after all resistance had been crushed. The bodies had been removed from number 2, 3, and 4 crematoriums and brought for cremation to number 1, which was manned by 30 new, hastily recruited Sonderkommando men, and my interjection. You see here, with this example, that as long as we are in their hands, the hands of rule, that as long as power creates the terms, manufactured scarcity, manufactured insecurity, more among us will always be able to be recruited to perpetuate the insanity of rule. I found myself standing beside an SS non-com who was busy recording the tattoo numbers of the dead. Without my asking, he informed me that 12 Sonder men were still missing. Of the others, all but 7 were dead. Those 7 were myself and my 2 associates, the lab assistant, the engineer in charge of the dynamos and ventilators, the head chauffeur, and the pipel, that is, a jack of all trades assigned to the SS personnel, whose duties included taking care of their clothes and boots, cleaning their kitchen, and answering the phone. It was he who gave me a detailed account of the day's events. It had not been a case of treason. Here is the Pipel's tale. At 1 p.m., a truckload of political SS arrived at number 3 crematorium. Their commander ordered the Sonderkommando to assemble, but no one moved. He must have had an inkling of what was brewing. In any event, he apparently figured he would get better results if he tried lying to the Sonderkommando. And God knows the SS were past masters in the art of lying. Stopping in the center of the courtyard, he gave a short speech, worthy of the SS. "Men," he shouted, "you have worked here long enough. By orders of my superiors, you are to be sent in a convoy to a rest camp. There you will be given good clothes. You'll have plenty to eat, and your life will be easier. Those whose tattoo numbers I call out, step forward and line up." Then he began the roll call. He first called out the numbers of the Hungarian members of number 3, Sonderkommando, 100 in all. The Katzet's youngest prisoners. They lined up without further protest. More fear than courage was visible in their expressions. A detachment of SS immediately took charge of them and removed them from the courtyard, then marched them to D camp and crammed them into barracks 13. Meanwhile, in number 3 crematorium, roll call continued. Now it was the turn of the Greeks, who failed to show a similar alacrity in lining up, but nevertheless obeyed. Next, a group of Poles, Grumbles and muttered protests swelled to a surly roar. The SS called another number. Silence. No one moved. When the officer raised his head and frowned, a bottle of mineral water fell at his feet and exploded. 7 SS, including the group commander, fell dead or wounded. The bottle had been thrown by one of the Poles. The SS opened a deadly fire on the rioters, who retreated and took up defensive positions inside the crematorium. Thus protected, they began tossing other explosive-filled bottles into the courtyard. A burst of machine gun fire from some of the SS mowed down the Greeks, who were still lined up in the courtyard. A few tried to escape, but were killed as they reached the gate. Without letting up on their fire, the SS moved in towards the crematorium entrance. It was no easy job, for the Poles put up a stout defense. Their cascade of bottles succeeded in keeping the SS at a respectful distance. Just then, a tremendous explosion rocked the area, felling those attackers who had moved in close to the building. The crematorium roof blew off, sending a shower of beams and shingles flying in all directions, while smoke and flames billowed skyward. 4 drums of gasoline had exploded, reducing the building to rubble and burying the Sonderkommando men inside. A few of those who escaped with their lives tried to carry on the fight, but the SS machine guns made short work of them. Others, wounded but still able to walk, headed towards the door with their hands up. But another burst tumbled them as well. They expected what they got, but fire was gutting the building, and they chose the easier death. At the same time, 100 Hungarians were hastily returned to the courtyard and executed on the spot. Thus the riot began in number 3.